This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, before we continue with our series called Street Credibility from the Book of Proverbs, a word of explanation. The message you're listening to all this week was actually given during Thanksgiving week, thus some references to the holiday Thanksgiving. Just wanted you to know it'll all unfold as you listen because it's applicable to any time of the year. God bless you as you listen. Studying a book called Proverbs. And I've actually had people think that there's something second class about the book of Proverbs. You know, it's not up there with the book of Romans. It's not up there with the book of 1 Corinthians. And I understand that. It's not up there with one of the prophets, the book of Isaiah or Jeremiah. But take note of this, why I think it's important to read Proverbs. Jesus quoted more from Proverbs than any other book of the Old Testament other than Isaiah. So what does that say to you? It was important to Jesus Christ for us to know the Proverbs. If it mattered to him, it matters to me, is my point. If the book of Proverbs mattered to him, they matter to me. And what I'm going to do today, I'm going to share five verses out of Proverbs, honest and being truthful with you. I've never heard anybody speak from these verses before. Sat under my dad's preaching for years, never heard him talk about it. I've heard people quote these verses, even in jest. One of these verses people use in jest to make fun of their wives, and it wasn't written for that purpose. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But there are five what I call better verses. Verses that say it's better to do this than it is to do that. It's better to be this than it is to do this or be that, and let them speak to you on this Thanksgiving, five verses that have the word better in them, because I think they're profound advice for every man, every woman that's here today. It starts in Proverbs 15, beginning at verse 16. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred. Chapter 17, verse 1. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. And now let's pause here. Men, I don't want to hear that you use this all the way home to talk about your wife because it applies to both genders, to husbands and wives. But let's bring it up. Verse 21:9. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Just flip the gender. It applies. Better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome husband. It's better to live on the roof than to live with quarrelsome parents. It's better to live on a roof than live with quarrelsome children. It applies to everyone in the family. Better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. And then one more. 28:6. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a rich man whose ways are perverse. This is going to have something to say to every man that's here today about your life, about the way you relate to people, how you relate to people this Thanksgiving on Thursday, because these verses are so applicable. And we start with, let's bring up the first one again. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. One commentator says this, to many of us, we have been brought up into the notion that money brings happiness. We think if we only had another 1,000, another 5 grand, another 10 grand, 50,000, 150,000, we would at least be able to buy the one thing we've been trying to buy. We'd be able to move up to a better house, a better car, a better part of the country. Too many of us have bought into the notion that money brings happiness. The Bible is not against wealth or prosperity. It's just honest about it. Generally speaking, the Bible says that people who have a lot in this life also have a lot of trouble.
Well, yesterday on Cross Hope, we began a brand new message that happened to be given around Thanksgiving, and it obviously has some Thanksgiving-type references, but folks, it's applicable to every time of the year, including this time of the year in your life. God bless you as you listen to this next message from the Book of Proverbs.
Too many of us have bought into the notion that money brings happiness. The Bible is not against wealth or prosperity. It's just honest about it. Generally speaking, the Bible says that people who have a lot in this life also have a lot of trouble. You know why that is? If you have a lot of money, sometimes you find that everybody else wants it. I don't know if any of you are familiar with a book that Bob Green wrote years ago about Michael Jordan, the basketball player, called Hang Time. In it, Bob Green says, when this was written, I don't know what Michael Jordan's life is like now, but at the time, Bob Green said Michael Jordan couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't go to the mall. He couldn't go to McDonald's. He couldn't go to a drugstore. He couldn't go to the corner restaurant without a security team. Because everywhere he would go, he would be swamped with people, a lot of times people asking him for something. You're rich, give me some money. Isn't it interesting? Better a little with the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to be have a little with fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord means that you acknowledge God in every area of your life. That's what it means. If you are a man who fears God, you are a man who actually acknowledges that God has something to do with your life Monday through Friday. If you're a woman who fears God, you honestly and truly believe, not just lip service, you really believe that God has something to do in the way you relate to your children and the way you relate to your husband, the way you relate at work, if you're working outside the home. You honestly believe that God not only is interested in what you do and what you say, he has a part in it. That's what it means to be a person who fears the Lord. And so it's better to have a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Let's bring up the second verse we read. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred. You need to know and understand where this is coming from in terms of the original. To be a person who only had a meal of vegetables meant you were poor. That's what it meant. If all you could afford were vegetables, they didn't look at you as a vegetarian. They said, you're poor. You don't have any money. And a sign of wealth was to have meat with your meal. And that's why it says, better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf, or a lot of meat, a lot of protein with hatred. I love what one commentator says. He said, let me translate this for you in language you can understand. It means it's better to eat cold lima beans where people actually love you than to have a T-bone steak where people can't stand to look at your face. What a statement. You know why that impacts some people? Because you know it's true. It's better to have a meal of cold lima beans where people love you than to have a T-bone steak where people can't stand to look at your face. There's a reason why people get depressed at Thanksgiving and Christmas time, why they hate to go back home. It's because they know that when they go back home, they're going to see all those relatives they haven't seen in a while, especially when some of them get a little tanked up with holiday spirit. All those hurts and old things start coming out. What ought to be a joyful, happy time becomes an unbearable struggle. You just pray to God to survive until the time comes when you can go home. Besides, he said, it's better to eat lima beans, cold lima beans, in a family where they love you than to have the richest food in the greatest hotel in town where hatred and strife and turmoil are. Isn't that interesting?
Well, indeed, it's sad and interesting. We'll continue this message on Cross Hope tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
You know, I was thinking about all the people I've talked to over the years in counseling, and I can't tell you how many times that somebody has sat in my office and talked to me and said, I dread Thanksgiving. I dread Christmas. And I said, you know, this is supposed to be a happy time. And they said, I dread having to be with mom and dad. I dread having to see a sister. I dread having to see a brother. And then they go into how it's always turmoil and there's an undercurrent of strife. And I'm going to talk about that in the next verse, how that some people live with that and don't even know that that's their way of life. Well, let's bring up the next verse that says what? Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Bread was always, in this day and age, needed to be softened with butter, with honey. They would use olive oil. Have you ever been to an Italian restaurant where they pour the olive oil out and they put the pepper, and then you dip the bread, that Italian bread, and the olive oil to soften the bread? And so to eat bread that was dry and stale was a sign of poverty. And yet, And yet the proverb writer says, better to have the dry crust, no olive oil, no butter, no honey, with peace and quiet than a house of feasting with strife and turmoil. I want to share this thought with you that one author says, this is really powerful stuff. I've never heard anyone put it the way this guy does. If I knew his name, I'd give it to you. He said, have you ever had a wonderful meal with just a few simple things because you loved the people you were with and they loved you? Just a salad was plenty because of the atmosphere. You may not remember what you ate, but you enjoyed the pleasure of their company. And then he says this, many families have meals with tension and bitterness. It actually becomes a habit, and they don't even know it. It actually becomes a habit, and they don't even know it. I've never heard anyone say this next sentence. Emotional pain becomes a family tradition. Wow. Emotional pain becomes a family tradition. The conversation is negative and critical. The children sarcastically cut each other down, and that could be adult children as well, and some are sullenly quiet in quiet rage. No one truly wants to be there. These are things that should never be in a Christian home. I'm going to say some things that shock the daylights out of people first couple of service. I really mean that. If there is envy and strife and selfish ambition, you're going to have the Thanksgiving from hell. Would you listen to that again? If there's envy and selfish ambition and strife in your home, you're going to have the Thanksgiving from hell. And you say, how in the world can you arrogantly say that? The book of James 3 says, wherever you find envy, selfish ambition, and strife, it's from the devil. It's from the devil. It's exactly what James says. But where you find peace and gentleness and people getting along, that's from heaven. That's from the Lord. And so that's why, and I'm not being smart, I'm not trying to be funny, I'm not trying to be facetious, that people either have a Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner from hell or from heaven. Decide. Decide that you're going to do all you can to make sure you have a Thanksgiving from heaven. Why? Because the peace of Christ is there. And unity is there, and the blessings of Christ is there with peace and quiet that are gifts from heaven, James said, as opposed to the things that are the gifts from hell.
Well, all this week, a series of phrases in Proverbs called better than what statements, where the proverb writer compares things and says, it's better to be this than to be that. It's better to have this than it is to have that. We'll continue tomorrow on Cross Hope, exactly where we leave off today. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
Well, let's talk about the one that some of you are going to joke about, and I don't bring it up for something to be, you know, fodder for joking, but better to live on a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. You need to understand the houses of the day. All the houses back then were flat roofed. And they all had a stairway that was either on the side of the house or the back of the house or possibly inside the house that went up to the roof. And the roof was the only place you could go for peace and quiet. There was no family room. They didn't say, hey, kids, go to the den. They didn't say, go to the basement. Go to this place or that. You went to the roof. If you wanted to get away from people, you went up on the roof. And the proverb writer says, better to live on the corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. But I wrote down some things that criticism springs from a self-righteous spirit. Constant criticism springs from a self-righteous spirit. If you are a man or woman, doesn't matter who you are, male or female, and you find yourself constantly criticizing your spouse, constantly criticizing the people in your family, I think sometimes that can spring from a self-righteous spirit. And you know what you do with the self-righteous spirit? You confess it. Like any other sin, you confess it to Christ and say, Lord, I need to be forgiven for a self-righteous spirit for 25 years. Lord, I need to be delivered from a self-righteous spirit that I've had for 10 years because a self-righteous spirit, get this, will kill relationships. Write it down. A self-righteous spirit will kill relationships. Relationships that go down in flames, usually you can find one or two people that have a self-righteous attitude where everybody else is wrong and I'm right. And I'm the one who's in charge. I'm the one who's right in this deal. Criticism springs from a self-righteous spirit. And I love that statement that emotional pain becomes a family tradition. How would you describe emotional traditions in your family? Pain? Resentment? Anger? Bitterness? A rehashing of what happened 20 years ago? I've often wondered why at family gatherings people blow up. I always was intrigued by that. Why is it that somebody will seemingly blow up every Thanksgiving or every Christmas? It's not because Christmas or Thanksgiving caused it, but there was something there that acted as a trigger, a mechanism to trigger those emotions, and it all came out at Thanksgiving or Christmas. Maybe it's happened in your family and you can relate to that. Let's bring up the last one, and then I'm going to share a couple of powerful stories, I think, that will help you. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a rich man whose ways are perverse. Perverse, I found out, means double dealing. You ever known anybody who's a double dealer? What's that mean? Somebody who talks out of both sides of their mouth? Somebody who sells from both sides of the desk, to use that expression? I'm going to share something with you, these verses out of the Message translation, because I love the Message. It's my favorite. It's not a translation, it's a paraphrase. But I want you to read or listen to all five verses from the Message paraphrase. Let's bring up the first one. A simple life in the fear of God is better than a rich life with a ton of headaches. What a statement. Better a bread crust shared in love than a slab of prime rib served in hate. The next one. A meal of bread and water in contented peace is better than a banquet spiced with quarrels. Better to live alone in a tumble-down shack than share a mansion with a nagging spouse. Wow. And it's better to be poor and direct than rich and crooked. It's better to be poor and direct than rich and crooked.
Well, my guess is that speaks to your life and to your family more than you and I are willing to admit. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless.
You're going to have all kinds of advice thrown at you in life, and all you have to do, as I mentioned earlier, is look at the internet, and there's all kinds of lessons. Tim Wessemann's an author who says that he was surfing through 78 cable channels the other day or recently, and he said, here's what I found out surfing through 78 channels. There was a program about redecorating a room in your house, a program about wardrobe revamping. There was an infomercial for a body sculpting kit. I don't know what that even is. There was a program about being a fix-it man and fixing up things in your house. And then there was one infomercial about a face cream that they promised would change his life, a face cream that would change his life. He said, I want you to remember how you were emotionally and intellectually when you were 14 years old, when you were a freshman in high school. Because he said that's the story comes from his being a freshman in high school. Two seniors walked down the hallway at my school in my direction. I squeaked out a weak freshman high. They stopped and said, you're the Wessemann kid, right? I nodded and one of them continued, I hear you're pretty good at basketball. Can you dunk? I laughed and said I wasn't even close at the height of 6 feet. Then they opened up their senior wisdom to me. They told me that one way to tell when you're jumping high enough to dunk the ball is to jump inside a doorway. When your head hits the top of the door jamb at the height of your jump, you should be able to dunk. Tim Wessemann says this, I couldn't believe the kindness of these seniors in sharing this gem of information. They continued, why don't you stand in this door frame and let's see where you are now. Then you can watch your progress. I thought these two seniors were geniuses. I stood in the doorway, bent my knees, and jumped straight up with all the gusto I could muster. He nearly fractured his skull as his head rammed into the door jamb. As for those helpful upperclassmen, they laughed all the way down the hallway. They laughed all the way down the hallway. Why do I tell that story? You laugh at Tim Wessemann because of what happened to you. Satan laughs at you and me when he sees us taking advice from the system and taking advice from the world system apart from Christ and taking our cues from Hollywood and taking our cues from this infomercial. And you know, some people pay a personal coach up to $500 an hour for advice. $500 an hour so somebody can tell you how to live your life. And the book of Proverbs says it's better to be poor and have nothing, but to have the peace of God in your life and in your family. It's better to have a meal of vegetables than to have a feast of meat with strife and turmoil. And the list goes on and on. You don't need to pay somebody $500 an hour to be your life coach. You need to listen to the Spirit of God speak to you every time you open up the Word of God. That's where the power is, and that's where the hope is. And that's why Proverbs matters, because they mattered to Jesus. And if Jesus quoted from Proverbs, why shouldn't I consider them valuable in my life? They are valuable. The better passages, never preached from them before, never heard anyone preach from them in my whole life, never have. But today I did. I shared with you what matters to the Lord. Decide that you're going to be a man who follows the better passages. Decide you're going to be a woman who follows the better passages, meaning that there are things in life that are okay, but there's something better. And I'm going to follow the way that's better. And most of all, the way that's better is to follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. His name is Jesus.
Would you like to hear this message again? You can by going to our website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message or any other message you'd like to hear on CrossHope.
You have been listening to CrossHope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to CrossHope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of CrossHope Ministries.